Good morning and welcome. Those two songs were the story of the last few days. We had the rain down, and now we got the shine part, right? And yeah, when Jesus is shining, when he's shining, now we're talking the good sunshine, right? It's going to dry us out, it's going to warm us up, and it's going to do amazing things. So may you feel God's warmth this morning. May you feel that sun and that radiance and that shine, and may it empower you and energize you as we worship together.
Declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and the people of Judah, it will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Second reading is from Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God was made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen.
Please rise if you're able for the reading of the Gospel. Today's Gospel is found in John chapter 16. Verses 16 through 25, I believe I had it, it says 18 through 25 here, never mind. 16, 5 through 16 is what it should be. So let me just pull up my Bible here so I have the ones I plan on. It may or may not write with what we got here. We'll see here. 5 through 16, right. Okay, I got it here. So this will be slightly different than what you see, but hey, God's going to speak through it. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asked me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while you'll see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for your presence among us this morning. May we feel it in a genuine way. May we hear from you, Lord, in our hearts and our spirits as well as in our minds. That you may teach us, that you may lead us, and you may guide us, Lord, that you would be our compass. In Jesus' name, amen. I would imagine most people at one time or another have been lost. Or if you're a male, maybe just temporarily disoriented. We don't get lost. Temporarily disoriented, maybe. Okay. Yeah, that's happened to me. I remember one time down at Camp Ashland, Nebraska. I was down there years ago for sergeant school, and I was in the guards. And one thing we had to do to make the rank of sergeant was a land navigation course, where you had to find your way through the woods and find a certain number of checkpoints, or just a fence post in the middle of the woods with a number on it, and get back to a certain point in a allotted amount of time. If you didn't make it, you didn't make rank. So we're out there practicing for that. And then we're out there, and you're in the woods everywhere, and you can't tell where you're going. All you can do is trust your compass, pretty much. And occasionally, you can get temporarily disoriented. And that happened. I'm at my checkpoint. I'm not finding it. I'm looking all around. The fence post is not there. It's hard to see them in the brush sometimes. But what I did is I got over to the river where it was clear, and I could see up and down the river. And then I was able to pick out two landmarks that I could recognize in real life and also on my map. With my compass then, I took a heading or an azimuth to that landmark, and I drew that line on my map. I knew I was 35 degrees relative to that landmark, so I was able to draw a map. I knew I was somewhere along that line on my map. Didn't know where along that line, but somewhere on that line, because I'm lined up with that. Then finding a secondary landmark, a hilltop or something I could also identify on the map, I took an azimuth to that, and I drew that line then on the paper. Where those two lines intersect, exactly where I was. At that point, I knew where I was. I knew my next objective coordinates, and I plotted the path and the distance to it and the direction. I was able to find it successfully. So the compass was able to save me in that situation. I was able to find the next checkpoint, got my practice round in, succeeded, got my rank of sergeant, and it all worked well. So compasses were really handy in the Army. They gave us direction. Also in the Navy, I'm not sure how a compass works on a submarine when you're surrounded by metal, but somehow they find their way as well. Alrighty. But we all need guidance. We all need guidance, and not just occasionally. We're humans, and our human nature tends to come through. The Israelites continually had guidance. Every day they could look at that cloud of the pillar of cloud and then follow it when God said to move. When it stopped, they stopped. At night, they had the pillar of fire that they could follow. So God was providing them direct guidance. And that worked while they were in the desert. And then later on, he provided guidance through his prophets, as we read in Jeremiah this morning, when he talks about the new covenant that was coming. God had been leading his people. As Dalen led there, or read, they had made the he had made the covenant with their forefathers. He said, when I took them by the hand, in verse 32 of Jeremiah, taking them by the hand. Okay, there's real physical leading, right? You're walking with a little kid. You're going through traffic, through crowds of people or something like that. You take them by the hand because there's dangers all around. And you're physically leading them and guiding them. At that point, for the child, the parent is the compass. The parent is the guide. They're trusting the parent, the one that provides for them, one that gave them life. And they can successfully then be protected. Same way with God's people, he was taking them by the hand and leading them through all the dangers. Took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. And then he says, but because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them. So here's another good example, being a husband to them. A husband, a faithful husband will provide and protect. And that's what God was doing for them too, and still does for us today. He provides for us, and he protects us. He's faithful to us. So I love it when they use these examples there. God has those attributes. All right, but this situation of taking by the hand, it worked. And he had the law that he'd given them, but now he's talking about a new covenant that's coming. Verse 33, after that time, declares the Lord, I'll put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. This is pretty cool, okay? He's given us our own personal compass. His law is written on our hearts and in our minds. We have no excuse. It's there. Even a little kid knows the difference between right and wrong. And if they've been wronged, boy, will they let you know it, right? Okay, they do. We're born with that. We're born with that innate ability to distinguish between good and evil, right and wrong. We have our own moral compass that's been given to us. His law is in our minds and written on our hearts. We no longer need these tablets of stones. Can you imagine lugging them around all the time? Okay, and then, oh, we got to check up this law and stuff like that. Oh, wait, there's this little thing here that we got to make sure we don't, you know, the Pharisees are masters at that. But now it's written on our hearts, right? Also, the other thing is when you have a book of laws, you know, oh, where did I put that now? You know, you can lose it like your car keys or something like that. But if it's written on your heart, you know. And you can't lose it. You can't misplace it. So we don't need to be looking things up. Jesus summed up the law in the one command, or two of them actually. It says love God and love others. That sums it all up. All the laws and the prophets are summed up in this one statement, to love God and to love others. If we do that, we've got it. All right? And again, we know that there's between right and wrong, what's right and what's wrong. It's written on our heart. And this is reinforced in Romans this morning, too. Paul picks up on this same theme here, and we had read that. Just fast forward here a little bit to Romans. All righty. It starts on a serious note. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Suppressing the truth. We know the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And when the truth about God is suppressed, it hurts others. Suppressing it, not letting others know about it, or worse yet, covering it up, you're misleading others. And that's a serious thing with God, misleading others. Jesus had used the example of anybody who misleads a young child, that it'd be better that a millstone be hung around his neck and be thrown in the depths of the sea. This misleading others is serious, but it does happen. We've seen it many times with cults and things like that, people intentionally misleading others. We've seen people going for personal gain, things like that, to mislead others. We see it with telemarketers, or also the evil ones that prey on elderly, to try to get access to their bank accounts. They're intentionally misleading. They're doing it intentionally. And that's just plain evil. That's not a mistake. That's not an accident. This evil does exist. And it's our job to fight against it, physically and spiritually. We must do what we can to suppress this. Because people are suppressing the truth. And they're hurting others as a result. Truth, in today's culture, many people say is relative. They get to decide what's truth or not. To us, there is an absolute truth. God's word is absolute. But today's culture, okay, this is acceptable, we can allow this, and no. We have to go by with what's here, right? Are you going to answer to God or answer to man? So when people try to tell us that, we have to reply in a loving way sometime. Somehow that what you're saying is wrong, and that we need to turn to God instead. We need to repent of these things. God's truth is real. And God is so real. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. We look at nature. We look at creation. We see God's fingerprints everywhere, his existence, right? All the details, the intricacies, the interdependence of the different animals and plants and the way they all fit together. It's a design. It's not random chance of evolution. There is a design here. As we probe the secrets of the atom and get down to that, there's a mathematical design. When we look out across the universe on the larger scale, it's Big Daddy Weave had a song, Overwhelmed, that starts out, I see the work of your hands. Galaxies spinning, a heavenly dance. There's a mathematical order and a design to everything. God's fingerprints, again, everywhere. And it says then that men are without excuse when it comes to knowing the existence of God. They are without excuse. No excuses. It's been written on our hearts. It's in our minds. That God is real and he loves us and he's there for us. But the people stray. And in verse 21, it talks about them ignoring God. And that still happens today. People ignoring God, thinking, oh, I've got this. It's all good. No, we need him. We can't just be ignoring him. We should know better is what it tells us. His existence is plain for everybody to see. We should know better. You know, imagine we've all heard that from our parents when we were little too. You should know better. Yeah, we should. Because his law is written on our hearts, we should know better. But again, the people talks about with hearts that became darkened, those that are intent on doing evil to others. Again, they're out there and they exist. I cannot relate to it, okay? I believe in loving others, but there are those that are serious about taking advantage of others, and they have those darkened hearts. Again, the evil does exist, and it's our duty to fight against it. The reading continues in saying in 25 that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Okay, this brings us back to contemporary culture, exchanging truth for a lie. What they say is right. What they say is okay. And Jesus knew humans would do this, so he sent the Holy Spirit that we would know right from wrong. And the Spirit would lead us, like it said in the gospel today, into all truth. Again, the truth should be plain to see. It's written on our hearts. There should be no excuses. When Jesus was before Pontius Pilate, he asked him, what is truth? That's a deep philosophical question into which we could really delve sometime. But again, we believe in absolute truth, not relativism, that God has set forth what is true. And he sent his Holy Spirit then, in the reading from John today, to guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit shows us what's wrong, what's not. We all have a conscience in us, and we know what's wrong and what's not. And that's how I can't understand these people that intentionally mislead others. Have they no conscience? What's up with that? How does that work? Again, I can't relate. It doesn't make sense to me. How could you intentionally mislead God's little ones? So the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. He points out to us what we should be doing, what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. The Holy Spirit also allows us to prophesy. He told us that as well. He'll guide you in all truth, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So prophecy, a lot of it in the Bible here, is the act of the Holy Spirit, even back in Old Testament times, actively prophesying to people and through people and telling what is yet to come. The Holy Spirit then also acts as that moral compass to show us right from wrong, to give us that true north. We need to be moving relative to God. That's our true north. Not what culture decides is okay. What God says is okay. It's written on our hearts. It's like we got this GPS pre-installed, for those of you more modern that use the GPS. I'm still the old map and compass guy, okay? That's me. That's what I know. But it's pre-installed here. It's not an option. It comes within us. We have to watch out for things that will throw us off, though. With a map and a compass. With a compass, you can't be near a big metal object, or else it's going to throw you off. That was my submarine thought earlier. For a while, I was a machine gunner in the Guards, and I had 23 pounds of metal across the front of me in the form of an M60. I couldn't use a compass. It would point at that thing, no matter which way I'm turned. So someone else had to run the compass. Being under a power line, that gives off an electromagnetic field that will make the compass align with it. Again, there's distractions. There's things out there in this world that are going to try to turn our compass the wrong direction. We have to be aware of them. We have to try to avoid them. And using our compass where it won't be distracted by other things. And for goodness sakes, don't use the world's GPS. That's going to lead to destruction. You've all heard the stories of someone driving along, they're depending on this GPS thing, and then it brings them in the middle of a field somewhere, and they can't figure out where the heck they are, right? Okay, you got to depend on God, not on the man's creations and things like that. So Jesus did send us a compass in the form of the Holy Spirit. And that one will never steer you wrong. That's the one upon which you can depend in all situations. Of course, the compass is even better when paired with a map, like my opening story there. With the compass, I couldn't figure out exactly where I was unless I used it paired with a map, and then I was able to do that. And that's what we're going to learn about next Sunday, more of the map type deal, when paired with the compass. We have a map that we've been given as well that's going to show us the way. Yes? Okay, not trusting the GPS, trust because it's man-made, but a compass is man-made too. That's true. And again, your compass, like if I'm near a metal object or a power line or something like that, I got to be careful, don't I? But we got to follow God's compass, right? And that's that Holy Spirit that's within us that is going to point us in the right direction, that tells us right from wrong, that confirms it to us. So yes, and you could look at people even of different cultures, someone coming from an island in the middle of nowhere that has never been exposed to any other cultures. Do they know right from wrong? Is it written on their hearts? There are certain things that are taboo in all cultures, in all places, absolutely. And also these other cultures, and if no matter how isolated they are, do they believe in a creator and worship a creator? Absolutely. Again, the evidence, like I said in Romans, is plain for all to see. It's out there. All creation testifies to his existence. Doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, they will acknowledge a creator, and they'll have a basic sense of right and wrong because it is written on our hearts. It's built into us. So absolutely, 100%. So, okay, so having that compass then paired with a map where we know the way, that's going to be a powerful combination, and more on that next Sunday. So at times we may get physically lost or temporarily disoriented. But there's no excuse for getting morally lost. We know right from wrong. We have the Holy Spirit within us. When you've accepted Jesus in your life, that Spirit has entered in a new way and it has become activated in you. And now it's speaking to you in a more powerful way where you got this direct connection with God. When Jesus was here, he could guide the people that are immediately around them. He could communicate with them. But he said, it's better if I leave and the Comforter comes. When the Holy Spirit comes, he's able to guide everybody everywhere simultaneously. This is more powerful. That's what Jesus is talking about. It's better that I leave so that he can come and he will guide you into all truth. Not just a little bit of truth, but all truth. Jesus was guiding his disciples into truth, no doubt about it. His words still guide us into truth, no doubt about it. And his words, when brought to life by the Holy Spirit and interpreted for us, and when it prophesies to us, and when it speaks to us, that's when we're talking, it's very, very powerful. So with this map that we've been given in the Bible, and then the Holy Spirit, our compass, we can do amazing things. We won't get lost. We're going to be going in the direction that God wants us to go. He's going to be leading us, and he still does today, not with a pillar of fire and cloud, but he still leads us today, and we need to be following because he has plans to use us for great, wonderful things that we can't even imagine. It's out there. Each and every one of us has a mission to complete, individually and also together. So let us seek God. Let us listen to him. Let us be willing to be led so that he can guide us into all truth. Amen.